through 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And so we are going to have on Thanksgiving something different. The Friday and Saturday before Thanksgiving, we'll be having services. And then Sunday morning, we'll have another service. And then we'll be off for the rest of the week for Thanksgiving. And so we're just doing something different. We've never done that before, just to see how things are going. And we're looking forward to that as well. And so we'll get more details as we go. We'll eat each night as well, Friday night and Saturday night together as a church. And then we'll have church together. Okay? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's stand to our feet here tonight in honor of God's Word. And we'll begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 10 tonight. And the thought that I want to bring to you tonight is praising God in pain. Praising God in pain. And so we find that's pretty of a hardship, I guess, title, but it's a true one if we find the Scripture to be true. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I shall say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus tonight, and God, I pray that you'll give us the wisdom to explain and to bring understanding to these passages. These are not easy passages. These are complicated tonight, Lord. We pray, Father, that you'd help us to work through them. God, give us your mind, your heart. God, as we preach about Paul tonight, I guess one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, we pray tonight as he's our example. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. And Father, tonight, God, may it be so, God, that we may see Paul, and we may see his life as a Christian, and we may mirror that, imitate that tonight, Lord, as what you'd want us to do. Father, lead and guide the service. Open our hearts and minds that we may understand it more clearly. Father, may we make application to our lives. And Father, may we tonight, dear God, understand it better by feeling and knowing what Paul went through, God, that we may go through the same things. Father, may we do the same things Paul did. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to, first of all, tonight to just talk about Paul's thinking. About Paul's thinking. I know that our Sunday school last week, Brother Keith brought forth about thinking, about thoughts, and it was good. And so it brought forth a lot of attention to the way we think and the way that our minds are. And tonight, Paul has a thinking or has a thought or has a desire in his mind and heart that I think that you and I tonight need to know about. And then we might move forward tonight concerning all that's being said. In his thinking tonight, I have noticed that there he cared what others thought of him. That's what he did. Look, I see that in verse 6, if you look with me here tonight. It says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." Paul had a concern. And his concern was what others thought about him. He didn't want others to think above of what he really is. He didn't want people to think that he was something more than what they saw. He didn't want others to think more than what they heard. And that ought to be a thought for you and I tonight, that our concern ought to be that we do care about what others think about us. If you have an attitude tonight to say, "I don't care what they think, I don't care what they say, I don't care about what takes place," you're not in the right mindset tonight. We need to be in the mindset tonight of due caring about what others think. And that is being said tonight, our concern ought to be not necessarily what they think, but be concerned about how they think. And we don't want somebody tonight to think more highly of us than they ought to think. Amen? We don't want anybody tonight to exalt us and to lift us up and to bring us to a pedestal tonight that we're unworthy of, that we don't deserve to be there. And Paul was concerned when he said that. He said that he's not, or he should think of me above. Now, you can think of him below, and that was okay, but it was above that which you seeth me. So when you saw Paul, and when you looked upon Paul, and when you watched Paul, Paul's concern was that you don't think me more than I am. And that ought to be our thought tonight as well, that we want people to see us for who we are, not above what we are. We don't want people to think of us more than they ought to think of us. And tonight we have to be concerned of what others think of us. We have to make sure that what they hear from us and what they see from us, it doesn't bring an exaltation to us. And so Paul was concerned with that thought. But then the reason why he was concerned with that was of the content that he was speaking of. And look at there in verse 7. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure." Now, Paul is concerned about this exaltation about him through the abundance of the revelations. And so what has happened now? Paul, in chapter 12, in verses 1 and about through 5, I guess it is tonight, as we look at it, well, verse 4, 1 through 4, we find that Paul has received a vision, or has a vision, and he has some revelations. Now, we know Paul, who has written 13 books of the New Testament, has heard from God. He has had visions and revelations from the Lord in order for the Word of God to come to be in part, that which is in part tonight. And we find that Paul was given the very mystery of the church. He was given the mystery of godliness. We find that Paul has given us a lot of truth out of the Romans on salvation and security. We find there in the epistles, we find truth that Paul has laid down for us. We find that in Timothy and Titus there about young preachers and about how the church ought to order it is, and the qualifications and how to set the church in order. We learn all of these things from Paul. Paul has been given much. But right here in chapter 12 is a different experience. It's a different vision that Paul had beyond all others. And he was concerned because of what he has known, because of what he experienced, because of what he has had knowledge of, that people may look at him and exalt him and magnify him above the measure that he really is. And tonight, we got to be careful in what people look at us and what people hear from us. We may be the smartest people in the world, but we can't be full of pride. We might be tonight the greatest Christian that ever walked on this earth in Stafford, Texas, but we've got to be concerned about others thinking of us more highly than they ought to think. Tonight we might be the best husband and the best wife, and we might be the best worker, and we might have all of knowledge, and we might have all of discernment, and we might be one with great prudence and one of great understanding, and we might be one tonight that everybody may look at and look upon and say, "My, that's a true, real Christian there." Tonight we've got to be concerned with all of that information that those people are thinking right, and we got to care about what they're thinking. The content of what Paul was saying is people thinking more highly of him, people praising him, people exalting him because of an experience that he had. And we're going to go through that experience in just a moment. For what he knew, for what he has received. Verse 1 says, "It is not expedient for me to doubt as to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now, Paul is speaking in third person. Paul is speaking of himself, and yet he's speaking of someone else as a third person of himself. Does that make sense? And so we see that Paul is saying, "I'm not taking any glory in this. I'm not getting any exaltation about this. I'm just trying to tell you what happened to me, and I'm going to tell you in a third person about a guy that I knew." And the guy that he knew was him. And so we say, as we go forward, he says, "Whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven." So what we know so far is that Paul, in a vision, in a revelation, he didn't really know if it was in the body, outside the body, but he just knew that he, as a third person, knew a man that was caught up in the third heaven. Amen? And so now we know something about the third heaven. The third heaven where the throne of God is at. The third heaven where we're going someday when we die. Amen? And so now he has had his vision. Now he had this revelation. He doesn't know too much of whether in the body, out of the body. He said, "But God knoweth." Verse 3, "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, but God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise." And so now we're talking about the third heaven is now paradise, and we understand that there in Luke 16, what paradise was all about. There in the center of the earth, there was a great gulf fixed. One side was Hades, and the other side was paradise. Abraham's bosom, it was called. And we know that before Jesus when Jesus died, he went to the heart of the earth. He took captivity captive on paradise side, and he took them on to heaven with him, and hell then enlarged itself in the center of the earth. Amen? And so we find that now he has entered into this paradise, into this third heaven. And the Bible says in verse 4, "And heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." And so now Paul is before the people. Paul's before the church of Corinth. Paul's before the Christian. And he is telling them that I have in a vision, in a revelation, I don't know if I'm in the body or out of the body. All I know is that I was caught up in the third heaven. And all I know is I was there in paradise and I heard unspeakable words. I heard words that I cannot say to you, for it's unlawful for a man to even utter. Words, I can't tell you what it looked like. I can't tell you what was said. I can't tell you all that took place there. But I can tell you I was there. I can tell you I experienced it. I was right where God would have me to do. And it wasn't me getting there. It was God that brought me there. Now, Paul was concerned that because of this knowledge that he had, and this event that he had, and this experience that he had, that people were going to look at him and say, "Wow, man, Paul. Paul went to third heaven. Paul went to paradise." I mean, Paul saw some things and Paul heard some things. And so Paul, we're just going to bow down to you, Paul. We're just going to lift you up and exalt you. And Paul says, "No, I've got a great concern with that. I don't want anybody to thank me more than above my measure." So what you see of me, what you hear of me, he said, "My concern is don't think of me highly. I'm just you. I'm just a man." Amen? And so tonight, the content of that was this. When he went through that experience, when he went through that that revelation, that vision, Paul now has something that he has experienced that nobody else experienced. And so Paul at that very time could have maybe exalted himself. He could at that time brought himself up to a place where everybody would just bow down to him. Everybody would have just fallen out. Everybody would just give him money. Everybody would have just voted to him and did all this for him. But Paul says, man, I've got a thought. My thinking is this, is don't think of me like that. Man, what a man of character Paul was. I'm afraid today that there's people who have said there's children and boys and men and women who say they've died for 30 seconds, for 30 minutes. They went on to heaven, they came back and wrote a book, had a movie, made a lot of money, and then after that it wasn't real. Tonight we're not talking about that fake. We're talking about real, true Christians who have seen by the power of God this third heaven, this paradise. And when Paul comes back, he's saying, man, don't thank me above measure. He said, but I'm telling you, I have heard some words that are unspeakable, and I also can tell you that I cannot speak them. It's unlawful for a man to say these words. So we find tonight Paul in his character. In his character we see tonight, he said, I will not glory, in verse 5, I will not glory of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. This is the character of Paul. Paul says that the word glory means to boast or to vaunt, or to lift up, or to express, or to be proudful. He said, I will glory in him, but I won't glory in me. I will not do that. I tell you something I will glory in, though. I will glory in my infirmities. He said, I will not glory yet of myself. He said, I will glory of such a one. That one that Paul was caught up in the heaven, he'll glory over that because he was caught up in the heaven. Amen? That's something to boast over. That's something to vaunt over, right? Not me, but the event of me going to the paradise. Right? So Paul was saying, hey, listen, I'm not going to glory in yet of myself, but I will glory for that such a man. Because it's in third person, right? That man that went there, I can glory over that. Hey, he got to see paradise. He got to see the third heaven. He got to hear the voice of God. He got to hear the voice of angels. He got to see everything that there was up there. It was unlawful for him to speak to man. Oh, I can glory in that man for doing that. Amen. See, that's how we have to think tonight. We can glory in the most knowledgeable man, the greatest preacher ever. We can glory in that. The greatest teacher, the greatest singer. We can glory in the greatest giver. We can glory in the greatest mind of a great discerner, one who is prudent, one who is wise, the one tonight that you and I can lean on and lean to. And we can glory in that, amen? But they can't glory in themselves. And so tonight Paul's saying, I glory in that man, but I don't glory in me. Hope I'm not confusing you. He said, thirdly, he said, I will glory in my infirmities. That word infirmities means weakness. It means trials and pains. It means suffering. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look there in verse 21. He says, I speak as concerning reproach, and as though we had been weak, howbeit whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, in abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I have suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is offended? I am not burned not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. He said, I can glory in that man going to heaven, but I can't glory in me. And I don't want you to think more highly of me than you ought to think, than what you see and hear. He said, but then mostly of all, I'm just going to glory in my infirmities. And all that Paul went through for Christ's sake, all the sufferings and all the pains and all the difficulties and all the troubles that Paul went through, he says, I'm going to glory in that. That's what I'm going to glory in. Oh, I'm not going to see it as a negative. All the trials of my life, all the difficulties of my days and all the troubles that I faced and all the pain and suffering that I felt, I'm not going to look at it in negative. I'm not going to look at it as something that's ugly or something that's bad or something that's evil. Hey, all the people that make fun of me and all the people that revile me and all the people that don't ask me over no more and all the people who withdrew from me and my family and all of those at work who just set me to the side and all of those people who laugh and mock and make fun of me and call me these names and call me these phrases. You know, I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to want to fight. I'm not going to want to retaliate. I'm not going to want to revile. I'm just going to glory in the infirmities for Christ's sake. That's what we need to do, amen. And so tonight, Paul says in his confession, in verse 7, here in our text in chapter 12, he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. I should not think too high of myself. That I would think above myself. Paul saying, not only am I thinking of others thinking of me more highly, but I must come to a place where I don't think of me more highly. So not only others am I concerned about, but me, I'm concerned about. I'm the one who went up to paradise. I'm the one who was there on the third heaven. I am the one who wrote the 13 books of the New Testament. I am the one who had 3 missionary trips. I am the one who went across Asia and Asia Minor and went all across the country starting churches of Ephesus and Colossae and Thessalonica and Corinthians and on and on and on. I am the one who ordained. I am the one who set forth the order. I am the one who went to preaching. I am went through its synagogues. I have went through all of this and done all of that. And so you know where I need to come to the place? That I don't think of myself above. Amen? And tonight, we get there. Now, we haven't done anything that Paul has done, but in our own little world, sometimes we feel like that we're the king of our world. Many times we feel like that we deserve a whole lot more than what we're getting. Sometimes we feel like that we're not getting the honor from our husband or from our wives or getting the respect from our children. Or we're at work, we're not being applauded, or we're not being promoted, or because we think that we're better in our minds and hearts. We feel like that we deserve so much more. I deserve a vacation. I deserve a raise. I deserve a better home. I deserve a better car. I deserve more money. I deserve this position. I deserve. I deserve. I deserve. I deserve. And sometimes tonight in life, we come to a place where God's been so good to us. And God's been so kind and gracious to us. And He has given us things beyond our imagination. He has brought us through things that we could never thought of. He has brought forth such prosperity in our lives. He has put money in our banks. He has put money in our pockets. He has put food on our table. He has given us nice rides. He has given us nice homes, given us nice clothes. He has given us nice health care. He has given us so many things and provided so much to us tonight with the knowledge of the Word of God, a church to come here preaching, to be able to stand up and to live for God with liberty and freedom tonight, that sometimes we get to the place where we think more highly of us than we ought to think. Amen, Brother Larry, that's right. Sometimes we feel like we're God's gift to our family. Sometimes we feel like that this church don't deserve me. Sometimes we feel like that we don't really get the true aspect of gifts and all of the doting over us and the abilities that we have and skills that we've got in our homes. So we walk around sad, or we walk around grieved, or we walk around as if we don't, you know, nobody really cares for me and nobody really appreciates me. And, you know, I cook a meal and nobody says it tastes good. You know, I go work all day. I work 8 or 10 hours. When I get home, nobody says, I appreciate you going to work today for 10 hours. So you go sit in a little corner, get your tea and a banana. And you're sad. Your whole day's done messed up. Your whole night, that evening, is now destroyed. And all that is tonight is you're just thinking more than you ought to be thinking of yourself. And that pity party tonight is just self-inflicted. And so God is going to help Paul. Now my next point is, I want you to notice not only Paul's thinking, but I want you to notice Paul's thorn. So God's going to help Paul because Paul's like us, or we're like Paul. Paul has every reason tonight to sort of be boastful, right? Paul has every reason tonight to say, hey, listen, guys, I'm the missionary. I'm the preacher. I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm the Israelite. I'm the one. I'm this and I'm that. I've been called by Jesus. I met him on the road of Damascus on Straight Street. He's the one who called me. I am the apostle amongst least of the apostles, but I am an apostle. And so Paul could have a lot of things, a lot of credibilities. He has a lot of credentials. He has a lot of hats. He has a lot and a long laundry list of accolades for Paul, but Paul's mind is, I'm worried about how they're thinking about me, and I'm worried about me thinking about me. And God knows that about us. God knows that tonight we are just vain. God knows that tonight our mirror is our favorite place. God just knows tonight that if anybody we love us. Right? Y'all sit there, no, that's not, yeah, that's how it is. I mean, you're told all the time, if you can't love you, who else can you love? Ain't that true? You hear that all the time. All those ignorant people say that all the time. And so we just kind of get involved, right? And again, we've been through this mirror thing before hundreds of times. You look in the mirror and you say, boy, I tell you, I love you. And we laugh and we say, that's kind of funny, Brother Larry. It's humorous, you know. But the fact of the matter is, that's true. We kind of like us. And then when somebody puts us down, we're gonna take up for ourselves. And somebody's going to do something with us. We always say this, well, if you mess with my family, you're going to mess with me. Now, you can mess with me, and it's okay. Well, that's another lie. Because they mess with you, and you retaliate. What happened to the phrase, you can mess with my family, but you can't mess with me? Wow, come on, you're boasting again. You're blowing smoke. You're bumping your gums. How else can I say it tonight? It's just not true. Tonight, if it really gets down to the bare minimum, we are going to take us first. We're number one. God knows that. And God said to Paul, in the way of a thorn. Now, Paul's thorn tonight and your thorn is not going to be sin. We're not talking about sin tonight. Paul's thorn wasn't something he did wrong or something he didn't do that she should have done. It wasn't an attitude of Paul either. It wasn't a bitterness, or it wasn't a hatred, or it wasn't an unforgiveness, or it wasn't something of that nature. And then thirdly, it wasn't a person. You know, a lot of people say, well, he's your thorn in the flesh. That guy there, that girl there, man, I tell you what, they are a thorn in my flesh. There's always one person, whether it's at church, at work, in the family, always one bad apple. Right? Hey, I live in the same world you do. But that's not what he's talking about. Not talking about his sin, not talking about an attitude, not talking about a person. He's not talking about a feeling like love, hate, like. This thorn that he's talking about tonight, the very word or the very meaning of it means a pointed stake. So there's something in Paul's life right now as he's speaking that is a pointed stake, that it just will not go away, but man, it hurts. But why does he have the thorn? Because, see, God knows Paul, and God knows us. In order to keep his children into a path of humility, sometimes, and with Paul, it was the case, God has to bring a thorn into your life. Now, this thorn tonight is a gift in the flesh. If you notice in verse 7, the Bible says that in the middle of that verse, it said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. It was given to Paul. Guess who gave that to him? God. So Paul didn't go around looking for a thorn and say, I'll buy that thorn. Paul didn't go out and say, okay, listen, you know what, I was walking through the woods the other day and all of a sudden I got a thorn. And I don't want this thorn, so I want to get rid of the thorn. That's not how he got it. God gave Paul a thorn. God gave him a pointed stake in his life. And that thorn tonight was a gift. It was given by God, but it was used by Satan. The Bible says there in verse 7, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. You say, well, why would God do such a thing? I mean, Paul, 13 books of the New Testament. I mean, he has been through the ringer and stayed true all the whole way. I mean, the 3 trips of a missionary. I mean, the multiple churches that he started. The many men that he's ordained. I mean, the much instruction and direction of the church today for you and I in the epistles and all that is given in the doctrinal book of Romans and my soul. God, why would you give him a thorn in the flesh and then you allow the devil to buffet him? Now, that word buffet means this tonight. It means to hit with a clenched fist. So stay with me for just a moment. Paul is living his Christian life. All of a sudden, Paul had a vision and a revelation. And all of a sudden, Paul, he didn't know it was in the body, out of the body. God knoweth. But now he's in paradise. Now he's in the third heaven. He's hearing and seeing things, and he can't even speak of it. It's unlawful for him to do that. And so Paul has done something that nobody else has done, according to the Scripture. There's nowhere else in the Bible that anybody's ever done anything close to what Paul has done. So Paul, with his Christianity, is concerned about how others think of him. But he's also concerned about what he thinks of himself. And God knows that you and I are just made proudfully. Right? And so God knew that Paul is made like we're made. And so Paul has now been given a thorn. And now the devil is going to buffet him. And every time Paul just thinks he's getting ahead, it's like the devil takes his fist and punches him in the gut. Boom. You're right, Lord. Every time Paul thinks more of himself than he ought to think. Boom. Every time Paul gets bold and proud, every time Paul thinks he's really doing something for God, and he's really, really getting out there, and he ought to be this, that, and the other, boom, this thorn in the flesh. Doesn't say what the thorn is tonight, but according to the details of it, it's something physical. It's something of an ailment, an earache, an eye issue, epilepsy, something with a hip, something with a muscle, something that brought Paul into a place of humility. And I believe tonight, if any of us is ever going to serve God and live for God to the greatest capacity that we can, our flesh at some time is going to rise its ugly head. And I believe tonight that God uses a thorn in every one of our lives, some physical ailment, some physical issue. And we wonder why we have this issue. We wonder why we have this hurt. We wonder why we're going through this trouble. God's given you a gift in the flesh. Amen? Number two, I noticed that this gift, this thorn tonight, is God over the flesh. Look at verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. See, Paul not only had a gift in the flesh, but he had a God over the flesh. See, God knew what was best for Paul in his ministry and in his life. And so Paul, in his mind and his thinking, has probably prayed millions of times, and most of time maybe that God has answered his prayer, and God has given the request that he's requested, that God has answered the petition that he has brought forth. But on this day and on this time, God overruled. He three times, that word thrice there means three, and on three separate times, he came to the Lord and he asked the Lord to take this thorn, to take this pain, to take this gut punch, to take this buffet of Satan, to take this suffering away. God overruled him. His request was overlooked. His petition was not granted. Verse 9, the answer that God gave him is this. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God is saying to Paul, that would not be good for you, Paul, if I take away that thorn. So we have to see on the side of a Christian tonight who is under the control of God, we always say that, that He knows what's going to keep us humble. He knows what's going to keep us submissive. He knows what's going to keep us straight and right. There may be a thorn in your life, in your flesh tonight, that's some kind of physical ailment that you've been praying for years to remove. And you still have it. But that ailment is not just a gift to you so Satan could use it against you. But that ailment or that thorn tonight is something that if it was removed from you, wouldn't be good for you. So God's not going to remove it. It don't matter how many surgeries you have. It don't matter how much medicine you take. It doesn't matter how many therapies you go through. It doesn't matter how many doctors that you see. The God of gods has said, I have given you a thorn in the flesh, and my grace is sufficient for you. Amen? Boy, I tell you, this is interesting tonight. He says, that would destroy you, Paul. If I would take away that thorn in the flesh, that would destroy you. You wouldn't be Paul. You wouldn't accomplish what you can accomplish, Paul. You'd be less than what you are today if I take away that thorn. And Paul, if I do that, then you would be ruined. You'll do nothing for God the rest of your life if I remove that thorn. Paul, it's not good for you. You'd be destroyed. Paul, that would cause you to be unusable. See, the reason why God wouldn't take it from him and it's because he's saying to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. And so we find tonight, not only was it a gift in the flesh and it was a God over the flesh, but it is a grace to the flesh. For in verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. In other words, he's saying, Paul, my satisfaction. That word sufficient means enough. It means my satisfaction. He says, Paul, my grace, my undue favor, my benefit, my joy and my thankfulness and my unmerited favor and my look upon you and my help upon you tonight that you don't deserve and that you didn't earn. I'm talking about grace tonight. I'm talking about my grace tonight that I have freely given upon you and bestowed upon you without you earning and even having it or even knowing of it. And tonight it is enough in the midst of your life, in the midst of your days, in the midst of your ministry, in the midst of your family, in the midst of your church, in the midst of your walk. I have that thorn. I have that thorn in you. That thorn will stay in you because I want you to know that I am satisfactory. My grace is sufficient, Paul. See, God wants us in our lives to know that His grace is enough. We may have a pain. We may have a hurt. We may have a thorn. But we got to know that His grace is sufficient. We got to know that His grace is enough. It's not about my pain. It's about Him in my pain. Oh, it's not about my suffering. It's about Jesus in my suffering. If I can bring glory to God in my suffering, He's sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And so tonight, Paul found that my satisfaction is the grace of God. See, Paul could have said, Lord, I don't care about that. Just remove that thorn. He didn't say that. Paul could have said, Lord, I don't want to do your work no more. I don't want to be in the ministry no more. I don't want to do anything for God anymore. This thorn is driving me crazy. This thorn is causing me to go crazy, oh God. Remove it out of my life. I don't care what else you do in my life. Just get the thorn out. But God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. He said, my satisfaction. And then he goes on and says, my strength. For he said to him in verse 9, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He's saying to Paul, he said, Paul, you know whenever you're weak, and when you're in that thorn is bringing that gut punch, and that thorn is bringing that pain and that hurt and that agony in your life, you know that thorn that's keeping that you humble and keeping you abased and keeping you low and keeping you at the place where I can use you, Paul. That thorn is keeping you exactly where I need you in order to you to do as you do. Paul, I need you right here. And that thorn is that keeping you there. He said, listen, at your very weakest point, I'm the strongest. Woo! Man, when the devil thinks he got us down, oh, when the world thinks we're at our weakest point like a noodle. Man, when, listen, all of hell thinks, oh, we got that one down. God says, oh, no, that's when I'm the strongest. It's whenever He's the weakest. It's the thorn that brought them there. And it's me that brings them up. It's me that brings them through. It's me that brings them to the place of being used and honored and glorified for my name's sake. It's not Paul and his bigness and his toughness and his how smart and intelligent and of a Jew and an Israelite of an Israelite and all of that, the accolades and all the mind of Paul. Oh no, it's when Paul was down with a thorn and he was the weakest and Jesus says, I'm the strongest. Listen, church, It's not when you're boasting that you're good. It's not when you're bragging. It's when you're tough. It's when you're down and low. And His grace is sufficient. And you say to Him, Lord, I'm satisfied with You. That, Lord, wherever You got me, whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm going through, it's enough. You're sufficient. Lord, I tell You tonight, You're my strength. Lord, I tell You tonight, I can't do it, but You can. So that's where God can be used, can use any one of us tonight, from the smallest to the biggest, to the youngest to the oldest. Tonight, the Lord can use us there. Oh, we find not only my satisfaction, my strength, but I notice my sufficiency. He said, the Bible says there in verse 9, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, Paul said that I am sufficient when I am in weakness, because His power, the power of Christ, resteth on me. Now tonight, I would think that you would want to go out of this church tonight in the power of Christ. I would think that in the morning, you'd want to get up and you would want to go to work in the power of Christ. I would think tonight that you would want to go through your day and come home in the power of Christ. Tonight, I would think that you might want to live your life in the power of Christ. How do we get there? We get there through a weakness that is brought on by a thorn. That we have a sufficiency in God, and that the power of Christ just rest on us, because we're just resting in Him. We're not bitter because we have an ailment. We're not arguing with God because we're having a suffering. We're not questioning God because we're having some sort of difficulty of life. Man, we're not trying to figure out with God, God, if You do this for me, I do this for me, trying to make a plea bargain with God. We're just saying, hey, if this is what You want, Lord, Your grace is sufficient. The power of Christ just rests on me, and I'll be glad about it. And friend, that's where you find the power of Christ tonight. Not many people have that. They think they find the power in Christ with much speaking. They think they find the power of Christ in much knowledge. They think they find the power of Christ with great power, authority of ruling people and demanding people and directing people. Oh, but that's not where this comes from tonight. The power of Christ is rest upon us. Whenever we're weak, He's strong. When He's our sufficiency, when He's our strength, and when He's our satisfaction, that's where we find it. And lastly, thirdly tonight, it's Paul's, not only Paul's thinking, but Paul's thorn. But I want to say thirdly tonight, Paul's triumph. Don't you want to live a triumphal life? Don't you want to live in victory? I do tonight. I hate losing. The other night I lost in Uno. There was some cheating going on, and there was some under table dealings. There's no way. I've been thinking about this the whole time. There's no way that I could get a draw 4, wherever she's at, about 8 times in one game. That's 32 extra cards than anybody else. And then her brother wins. There's something wrong with that picture. There is an investigation going on. We will come to a final understanding what really happened. And His win will be withdrawn. All right, I got that over. Paul's triumph tonight, verse 9. The Bible says, and Paul, no doubt, as he prayed 3 times to remove that thorn, and God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. And so we understand God's not going to remove it. All right? And so tonight we have situations in our lives where we pray, and we're asking God to either do something for us or do something with us or take something out of our lives. And sometimes we just don't hear from God, it seems. Sometimes it The answer seems to be no, we're not sure, we don't want it to be. Sometimes we don't know really what's going on. 20 years later, we're still trying to figure out, God, what is it that you want? What is it that you don't want? And all these things are going on. And in the whole time, we're not with joy because we're not getting what we want. But we're not in anger either, like it's really something that we're going to get, you know, bent with God over. But we're just not where we ought to be. But here Paul, God said, no, you're going to keep the thorn, and my grace is sufficient, and the power of Christ resteth upon thee. While you're in weakness, I am strong. And Paul said this tonight. I'm talking about Paul's triumph. This is our triumph. Paul just agrees with God. He said, verse 9, most gladly. Most gladly. Hey, God, will you remove that thorn? Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, most gladly. Nothing more said. He just agreed with God. You don't want to remove it, Lord? I agree with you. I'm not questioning it. I'm not asking no more about it. That's just the way that it's going to be. He said, I am agreeing with God most gladly. I tell you what I do, though, Lord. He said, most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities. I would rather glory in my weaknesses. In my weaknesses will I glory. Because I know in my weaknesses, you're strong. That's what I will glory in. I know, Lord, I will, in my weaknesses, you're made perfect there. I read that in verse 9. He said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Lord, you get no more perfect than when I am in weakness, when I'm in infirmities. Whenever I am in a place tonight of really I want you to remove that thorn, but you're not going to remove that thorn, but because of that, I most gladly just agree with you. And Lord, that's a perfect place for me to be. Amen. Not all getting what I want. Oh, but I have the Lord's blessings in my life. I got the power of Christ resting upon me. Can I say number two? Not only is Paul's triumph in agreeing with God, but I notice that Paul's triumph is accepting of God. He says in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure. I take pleasure. Paul said, hey, listen, man, I'll tell you what's going to make me happy. I know I prayed about them thorns to be removed 3 times. It didn't happen. God just says to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, Paul. Then I take pleasure. What does Paul take pleasure in? I'm talking about having a triumph life. I'm talking about living in victory tonight. I'm talking about living in happiness. I'm talking about tonight living overcoming. I'm talking about living the abundant life. I'm talking about living not with a chip on your shoulder. I'm talking about tonight living above and beyond all else. Not only agreeing with God, but accepting of God. I take pleasure, Lord. What do you take pleasure in, Paul? I take pleasure in verse 10 in infirmities. Every weakness that I go through, I take pleasure with that. Because I know that's where you're strong. And I know that your grace is sufficient for me there. And I know the power of Christ rests on me there. I can't be no greater of a testimony but right there. I can't be in no greater place than the will of God right there. You can't use me no greater than right there. Number two, what else that you are pleased with, Paul? Well, I'm pleased with my reproaches. He said, in reproaches. And what does reproaches mean? He said, it just means hatred. People hating me. People coming against me. People saying things ugly to me. Some people making fun of me. People mocking me. People calling me a fool for Christ. People saying things that bring hurt and harm to my heart and try to disrupt my walk. What are you going to be pleased with, Paul? I'm just pleased with those reproaches. Why, Paul? Oh, because it's there where I'm weak and He's strong. It's there where His grace is sufficient. It's there where the power of Christ resteth on me. Hey, Paul, what else are you pleased with? Oh, I'm pleased with the persecutions. He says up there in verse 10, in persecutions, and that just means suffering tonight, pain. Those that live godly shall suffer persecution, the Bible teaches tonight. Jesus said, I suffer, you suffer. We're going to find tonight that we're going to be persecuted. We might not find it much today, but it might be worse later. I'm not sure tonight. But listen, here's the fact of the matter. If you're persecuted in any way tonight, and there's all kinds of ways of being persecuted, tonight Paul says, I take pleasure in that. What do you mean, Paul? Well, I just mean that whenever I'm in this persecution, I'm in the weakness and he's strong. And then the power of Christ is rested upon me, and his grace is sufficient. What else you are pleased with, Paul? Well, I'm pleased with the distresses. He says necessities. And what is necessity tonight? It's a want. There's some things that Paul wants. There's some things that you want, but you may not get him. And Paul says, hey, my necessities, they're just not being met. Man, my necessities, they're just coming slow. They're just taking a long time to get there. My necessities, I will just be pleased. And some needs I have. Because while I'm in that weakness, he is strong. And while I'm in that weakness, the power of Christ resteth upon me. And while I'm in that necessity, the Bible says that my grace is sufficient for thee. Can I say here, fifthly tonight, distresses. He said tonight, he says there in verse 10, he said, in distresses for Christ's sake. The word distresses means difficulties, means troubles, means problems. It means just having everyday problems because of Christ, because of your love for Jesus, because of your faithfulness to Christ, because of your standards that you hold, because of the doctrine that you believe in, because of the songs that you are convicted with, because of the life that you desire to live, because of the separation from this world, because of the dedication you have to Him and Him alone tonight, it's going to bring a difficulty of life. And Paul's saying, you know what I'm pleased in? I'm pleased in this distresses. Why, Paul? Oh, because in my weakness, He is strong. And in my weakness, the power of Christ resteth on me. And in my weakness, His grace is sufficient for thee. The more we suffer, the more that I will face of the grace of God. The more that I have troubles, the more grace He will bestow. You'll never, ever, ever have more troubles, more distresses, more necessities, more persecutions, more infirmities than His grace. His grace is sufficient. It's enough. The weaker I become, the stronger He is. The more I suffer, the greater glory He receives. The triumph of Paul wasn't winning the best life ever, but the triumph of Paul was winning Christ. Look at chapter 3 of Philippians and we'll close. And verse 7. He said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I am suffered the loss of all things. And I do count them but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. That's a life of triumph. Paul's thinking, Paul's thorn, Paul's triumph. We pray tonight that you can have the same triumph that Paul had. If God don't remove that thorn, His grace is sufficient. The power of Christ will rest upon you. In your weakness, He's strong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, my Father. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Maybe you need to come to the altar tonight just to talk with the God. Maybe talk to the Lord. Maybe just do business with the Father. Maybe tonight you'd want to just tell the Lord Jesus tonight. Maybe you have been too boastful. Or maybe you have been too honorary. Maybe tonight you've thought of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Tonight you want to humble yourself before Him. Maybe tonight you just want His help. Maybe tonight you've been praying for a long time for God to remove something and He hasn't. Maybe that's your thorn. I don't know. But maybe tonight we just need to understand that when I'm at my weakest, He is at His strength. No matter what you're going through tonight, His grace is sufficient. No matter tonight what you're facing, the power of Christ resteth on thee. Get your head up. It's not what you're headed and what you're going through. It's Him and His glory. You sing, Brother George. Well, if you need to come, you come.